Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Have not talked much college football this summer. That's going to change over the next few weeks. It's going to change in the next few seconds because we're about to talk a little college football with he covers the college football world nationally for the Sporting News. You can find him on Twitter at BillBender92. Bill Bender of the Sporting News joining me right now to talk a little college football. Bill, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. You were at ACC Media Days. What was the Trevor Lawrence scene like there? Was he the biggest rock star at ACC Media Days?
Well, he wasn't there. So John Simpson played the role of Trevor Lawrence. I'll say this. His presence was there, and Clemson's presence was there. And, you know, with the incoming ACC network, Clemson's on top. I think one of the big storylines this week was the back and forth between Clemson and Alabama and their players. So, as media people, we all wanted Trevor Lawrence there. But Clemson, you know, stayed true to their tradition of bringing seniors.
Okay, I did not know that's a Clemson thing. They only bring seniors. That means there was never a Deshaun Watson sighting at ACC Media Day, huh?
Well, maybe that's not true then. Maybe I'm the one. See, now I'm the one that's wrong because Deshaun was. We work well together here.
Yeah.
Deshaun was there 1 year.
Maybe it's upperclassmen. Maybe it's upperclassmen only. That's what we'll say.
So we're both right.
That's right.
You know, I like that better. I thought Clemson handled the spotlight of being, you know, talking about starting over and not worrying about last year, whereas Alabama seemed a little transfixed on last year, whether it was Saban talking about the coaches, Dillon Moses comparing Georgia and Clemson. It adds to the rivalry. I mean, those are the two teams we're all waiting on to win it all.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Is that a good thing for college football that we've got this insane rivalry with these two teams, different conferences, and they wind up in the playoff with Clemson and Alabama? Or would it be better if things were a little more wide open right now?
Well, I mean, if it's good in the sense these are the two best teams and you get the two best teams in the championship game, it's bad in the sense that, you know, the more times we see it, I think the less enamored with it people are going to be, especially when both teams are from the same region in the country. I always use the example. There's only been two Super Bowl rematches ever, you know, between the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Bills and the Cowboys. So when you have two teams dominating the sport like these two are, I mean, right now it doesn't bother me, but like I said, the more times it happens, the more fatigue there will be.
Bill Bender joining me on CBS Sports Radio, covers college football for the Sporting News. How hot is Willie Taggart's seat right now in Florida State? Is it hot at all, or do they sort of understand that he was kind of inheriting a mess?
I think it's not as hot as people lead to believe. Now, if they go 5-7 again, it'll be an interesting conversation because I think they do need to get back to a bowl game. They have enough talent to do that. Taggart was pretty another guy. You know, he wasn't focusing on last year. You know, I, Marvin Wilson, we sat at his table, and he wasn't hearing the hot seat talk. So I think he's left every program in better shape than he's found it, and there's still time to do that at Florida State. But at the same time, you got to start closing the gap with Clemson. A program like Florida State isn't going to be patient forever.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What's your sense on the relationship with Notre Dame and the ACC? Take us inside that a little bit, and what was that like at ACC Media Days? Just sort of, you know, we know Notre Dame plays five ACC teams on the schedule. They're part of the ACC for all the other sports other than football. What's that relationship like in the football realm?
Yeah, well, it's going to stay the same. And I talked to John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, about it, and he made that pretty clear. He doesn't anticipate anything really changing. The interesting thing to me was Notre Dame's a full partner with the ACC network, despite not having football. Other than, you know, they can pick off the occasional road game with an ACC team. So one or two opportunities a year for that. But as he pointed out, you know, if Notre Dame ever takes the plunge and decides to become a Power 5 conference school in football, then they'll be contractually obligated to join the ACC in 2036. That's something, all these TV contracts are down the line, so it won't affect them short term, but like I say, any if you think Notre Dame's going anywhere else but the ACC, they're kind of locked in.
Yeah, Bill Bender, Sporting News, college football writer, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So that's interesting. They get the same share of the ACC television pie as the other 14 full on ACC teams.
Yeah, I found that interesting too. I mean, obviously with money, I mean Notre Dame has a bunch of sweet deals. I mean they get, it's kind of like, I don't know what the good, you know, we're Costco people in the Bender house, and you know it's like getting the Costco membership without paying a full fee, and you get the money. So I think it's a very interesting deal for them, and the interesting thing also, Sean, is they've played some huge games against ACC schools, and it's worked out for the ACC because Florida State and Clemson twice and Miami have won those big time games that they played against Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, what the things affecting college football off of the field right now, the transfer rules, compensation for players being a big topic. What was your sense with the head coaches that you talked with, either at Media Days or others that you may have talked with as we lead up to the season? Their concern level over transfer rules and maybe things getting a little looser as far as players being able to change schools?
Well, I thought Jim Harbaugh had a good idea. You know, players should be able to transfer once without having to sit out. But and then he got pulled into the other debate about mental health when he probably went, he clumsily worded what he said about the Cincinnati player Hudson who transferred from Michigan. And I think that didn't help. But, I think the root of what Jim Harbaugh was saying was, yeah, let him transfer one time. Then we don't have to worry about those things. Of course, we have to continue to worry about mental health, but you know how it works in this business anymore. People twist anything around to meet what they think it means. And, you know, but that's where I think it's headed. I think everybody should be able to transfer once. I think the second time you transfer, maybe make it difficult to do that, because that way, you know, everybody's happy at that point and the coaches won't talk about it being free agency, I suppose.
How strange is it going to be not having Urban Meyer on the sidelines this year for Ohio State? And what will the effect be on Ohio State?
I think Ohio State's going to be fine. You know, if you see what Ryan Day's done so far, whether it's in recruiting, just the vibe around the program. I was at the spring game. They played, they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of talent up front. They've got good receivers. They've got a quarterback from Georgia that I think once he settles in with the playbook is going to be very good. And, you know, they're still the most talented team in the Big Ten. So anybody that thinks, you know, Ohio State's going to take a huge step back is, I don't think that's going to happen. The one thing I'm interested in, though, is how does Ryan Day do in those big games against Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State? They've got a lot of those on the schedule, obviously.
Yeah, and circling back to Harbaugh, and you mentioned Michigan there. By and large, done a pretty good job at Michigan, but Ohio State continues to be an issue for him. What's your sense on the temperature of the relationship with Harbaugh and the fan base and the decision makers up at the University of Michigan?
Oh, he's not going anywhere. I keep telling people that ad nauseum, but I mean, if they lose this year, get back to me August next year. But they're not going to fire him. They're kind of, in some ways, stuck with him. And I think some of the things he's done, you know, he's winning 10 games a year. He's elevated the program's recruiting. Ward Manuel has always backed him. But I think at some point, yeah, you got to beat Ohio State, and that's the big game on their schedule. And what the comments he made about Urban Meyer, I think, only really kind of amplified that, what we already knew, that, yeah, they've got to win that game, but I think now more than ever, they've really got to win that game.
Of the last one before I let you go, Bill, we're talking to Bill Bender with the Sporting News, national college football writer. Of the early season neutral site, you know, sort of bowl game atmosphere type of matchups that we're going to see week one and week two, which one are you most looking forward to and why?
I'll give you three in September. Auburn and Oregon, huge. Huge for the Pac-12, huge for Auburn. Loser, that'll probably be the biggest overreaction in week one. Georgia-Notre Dame, we just talked about Notre Dame. Well, if you lose that one, you're in trouble at Notre Dame. If you lose at Georgia, I think both teams have a tough enough schedule. You can't afford to lose that one. Then, of course, Texas-LSU, two teams kind of try to knock into the upper deck of college football, or the upper crust, whatever you want to call it. those two teams will be in the top 10. It'll be in Austin. Everybody wants to say Texas is back. There's no better way to prove it than to play LSU.
It's Bill Bender, at BillBender92 on Twitter, and, of course, covers college football nationally for the Sporting News. Hey, Bill, appreciate you making time. Keep up the great work, man.
Hey, no problem. Let's do it again into the season. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.